know, it can be so easy to become bitter. So much of what the world throws at us, at our way, allows bitterness to infiltrate our hearts and our minds. And whenever we're confronted with these acts of bitterness and these worldliness, we let the stench of bitterness creep into our souls. I felt that last week. Now, I've watched a specific news channel for over 20 years. I've watched this news channel growing up through college years, into my early marriage and family life. And I watched this channel through this past week. Now, I'll be honest with you, I watched it because of a certain anchor, a news anchor. I believed this news anchor to be a solid person, and then it happened again. An act of sexual harassment, an incident. Now, I don't want you to think that this is a sermon on sexual harassment. It's not. But I share this with you to know that everything that this world faces and that we're confronted with, not often does it align with our Christian values and our morals. And when we're confronted with these things, so often we can be driven to anger. And so often we can drive ourselves to bitterness. And bitterness isn't healthy, is it? I mean, it's been known to affect us physically. It's been known to affect us emotionally. And it affects us spiritually. The cost of bitterness can lengthen our emotional pain, and it will exacerbate it. The cost of bitterness can bring on anxiety or depression or lengthen those. The cost of bitterness can initiate vengeful actions and create within us a desire to get even with people all the time. The cost of bitterness can create a cycle of distrust and constant cynicism. The cost of bitterness can lead us astray in developing a healthy relationship with other people. It can do that. And the cost of bitterness can deprive us of good physical health, because we've seen that bitterness can create high blood pressure. Bitterness can create headaches. Bitterness can create pain. It can create insomnia, and it can create a compromised immune system. We've seen that bitterness can do this to people. And bitterness, if it's not treated, can lead us to a very dark place. And we don't find any comfort from what the world throws at us and what it can offer. And we see just how broken this world is. And when we see it as it's broken, it offers us something. It explains why disappointment accompanies our relationships and our experience. And the more and more we see of that, and we're confronted with disappointment, so often then hope just becomes stupid, doesn't it? When we're confronted with it all the time. And then we become disappointed in our ideals. We become disappointed in our relationships. We become disappointed in our careers. We become disappointed in the people we trust. And we can become disappointed in our own selves. And when all human hope has let us down, then maybe we'll rely upon the real salvation that exists. Today we turn to Isaiah chapter 40. And as we look deeper into the context of this part of Isaiah, we see that in chapter 39, Isaiah predicted that Judah would go into exile in Babylon. Now, Judah did in 586 BC, which just was a little bit of a century later. The Babylonian army overwhelmed Jerusalem, and it led the survivors into captivity. And it's a far cry from what God wanted for those people. If we go back into Genesis, we see that God wanted Abraham to become a mighty nation, blessing the whole world. But the people of God failed in their high calling, and they paid heavily for it. And so here we are now in Babylonian exile. God's people are defeated, and they become bitter, and they become disillusioned. They think God has failed them, as we see further on in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 27. And that's typically what we do, right? When something bad happens to us, a quick reaction for us is to go and blame God. And for God's part, what does God do for us? Well, let's see what God does for us as we turn to the scriptures here this morning. Remember, you have some context to what happened and what's happening in this area. The people of God are in exile and they're in captivity. So Isaiah is here to comfort them, to let them know that they're not alone. Isaiah says, "Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that her warfare is ended, that her iniquity is pardoned, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins." A voice cries, "In the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up, and every mountain and hill made low. The uneven ground shall become level, and the rough places a plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken." A voice says, "Cry." And I said, "What shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all its beauty is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades when the breath of the Lord blows on it. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers, the flower fades. But," Isaiah says, "the word of our God will stand forever." Get you up to a high mountain. O Zion, herald of good news, lift up your voice with strength. O Jerusalem, herald of good news, lift it up, fear not, says the cities of Judah. Behold your God. Behold, the Lord God comes with might, and his arm rules for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his recompense before him. Will tend his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms. He will carry them in his bosom and gently lead those that are with young. I love this chapter. God comes to comfort us. And God comes to us with a promise, with a hope that doesn't depend on us, but it's a hope that depends on God. And the Lord promises his glory before the whole world. And as we savor this promised salvation, God strengthens us to face anything while we wait. Now, Isaiah chapter 40 begins a new section of this book. Isaiah no longer is addressing Judah in its own present day. Isaiah then starts to project out, looking futuristic, looking at the promise of God's Holy Spirit that will come, just like we see John writing in Revelation. And Judah sees a future day declaring the Gospels to the Jews that are in Babylonian exile. And Isaiah is saying to them, and we are hearing it too, God has not abandoned you. That God is right there with you. That your best days are still ahead. God has a purpose for grace in your life. There is a future day. A future day. That God does not leave us abandoned. Let me explain. You know, in ministry, a lot of our time is spent looking and praying to God to deliver the right people to lead. Am I right, Chad? Bill? We always are praying for people to step up into leadership. And I've spent the majority of the second half of 2017 deep in prayer, discerning people who will lead alongside with me, especially with Longleaf. And when the person that you've been praying for, you've been thinking about, doesn't step into that leadership role, for whatever circumstance it is, it's easy for us to get into discouragement and wonder why. A month ago, I was having a talk with a partner of mine about a new, fresh expression that God's laid on my heart. And I really feel that this fresh expression could be a hit in St. John's County. And we talked about God raising somebody up to lead that fresh expression with a specific skill set, certified in a certain area. They packed up their stuff and they left this event. 15 minutes later, somebody came up to the booth and said, "Hey, I hear a lot of good stuff about this kayaking stuff." They said, "I'm certified in this and this, and I'd love the opportunity to learn more and partner with you." And I was like, "God, another example that God is always right there with us, that God won't abandon us. That this was a person that God laid on my heart." Now, God doesn't answer in 15 minutes or less all the time. But God can. This incident isn't isolated. I have seen time and time and time again over the years that God doesn't abandon us. God is right there with all of us. God is right there in the midst of our worship experience right now, to let us know that we are not alone. That God is there to comfort us. You see, Isaiah calls us to let this news be known to all, to everyone. And if we go back to verse 9, we see that. Now, Isaiah is saying here, don't go out and do this with a mediocre spirit. Isaiah is telling us to go out and shout it out. Look at verse 9 with me. "Go on up to" where? "A high mountain." Doesn't say go down to a hillside. But go up on a high mountain, somewhere where everybody can see you, to make it visible. "O Zion, herald of good news, lift up your" what? Oh boy. You all got voices out there. "Lift up your" what? "Voice." There we go. "With" what? "Strength." "Strength. Oh, Jerusalem, herald of good news, lift it up and fear not. Say to the cities of Judah, behold your God. Behold your God." And so if Isaiah was here with us today, Isaiah would be saying, "Hey, people of God, go out to social media, go out to Facebook and proclaim the good news to all. Or go to Veterans Brewery," right, Bill? "And have a beer with somebody who is lacking hope. Or maybe go to a fitness center," right, Wes? and talk to somebody who feels alone. Go out and tell everybody to fear not. Don't be bitter. Don't be discouraged, because God is with you. And that's our call, you see, to proclaim the goodness of God, that God comes to comfort us. And that's the beauty of Christmas. God comes to us knowing that we need hope, bringing us hope and bringing us comfort, and letting us know that there's something far greater. And that gift of Emmanuel, the God with us, is the greatest comfort that we can be given. And for me personally, I take great comfort in knowing that God is right there with us, never abandoning us. Because God is not a stoic God. God's love for humanity is so profound that God was willing to give up his own child, his son Jesus Christ, to come to earth, to be born in complete humility, to live among us, and to physically show us the way to salvation. And through this gift of the incarnation of Jesus Christ, we have been assured that no matter how bad it gets and how bitter we can become, or how angry we become, or how much venting we do, that it's Jesus Christ who brings us the comfort that we need. We go back throughout scriptures and we see that Mary and Martha vented. We see that Thomas doubted. Jesus listened and was there. And we've been assured since Jesus left us on this earth and he ascended into heaven that we would still be comforted by the comfort of the Holy Spirit to be present in our lives, that our eyes be lifted up, that we're not alone, that God is our comfort. It's a video I'd like for you to see. It's a video that depicts the nature of God, that we aren't alone, and that God will never abandon us. Take a look.
Hey, I'm Josh from The Afters, and this is the world's biggest small group. The last couple of years have been a season of loss and suffering for a lot of us in the band. We've lost people really close to us. We've had many people in our life who have had health problems, and it's been one of those seasons where it's just been one thing after another. There's a passage in Deuteronomy, it's 31:8, where it says, "Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord will personally go ahead of you. He will be with you. He will neither fail you nor abandon you." We truly believe that God does go ahead of us and that he's working on our behalf. We saw God work in some really incredible ways, and even seeing him and his fingerprints all of our lives, even in the midst of sadness. Our sound guy, Anthony Martinez, who's been with us for a long time, he and his wife lost their daughter at birth. It was completely unexpected. They had already set up the whole nursery at their home, and their daughter left this world the moment she came into it. Her name was Piper, and shortly after this tragedy, we had a tour in Europe. And so we invited them to come, we invited his wife to come as well, came, and we were just hoping to shower them with support and love. While we were sound checking in Amsterdam for the show, our wives were walking around the city. They came back all excited because they found a restaurant that was called Piper, and it had the same spelling as their daughter. It was P-I-E-P-E-R. And they had never seen that spelling anywhere else. They thought it was completely unique to their daughter. And so we decided to go there after the show. And so we went out and we remembered Piper and prayed together and just loved on Anthony and Lauren. And as we got up to leave, I noticed there was only one thing on the wall in this restaurant, and it was a framed award. And I saw Piper's name on it. So I said, "Oh, you should come take a picture of this." It was an award for hospitality, and it had Piper's name on it. And so Anthony and Lauren, when they walked over, they burst into tears. And they said, "The date on this award is actually Piper's birthday." We just lost it, and we saw that, okay, this is where God's angels fly, is right in the midst of our pain, in the midst of our suffering. He gives us signs to show us that he's with us, even through the hardest things. when you're walking through the valley in life, when you're facing the storms, you're not alone. Just like it says in Deuteronomy, the Lord does go before you. We actually wrote a song for our new record. It's called Battles. And it's about this very thing, that God goes before us, that he's working on our behalf, and that there's nothing that we'll ever face in this life that we can't make it through with the power of God on our side.
Now that happens more than we realize in our lives, that God is right there with us every single step of the way. God is here in this moment. God is in our midst. And we pray that come, Holy Spirit, will be made known and manifest in our hearts here this morning. So as our band closes here this morning, if you feel that you've been alone, as if you've been abandoned, or if you feel bitterness in your heart and you just like to let it go, I invite you to pray silently. I invite you to come to the prayer rails to pray. I invite you to come and pray with me. I'll be standing over here if you wish, just to release that pain, to let go, and to let God carry that burden for you. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, in our lives, we know that we are faced with so many things that come our way. From things that we see on the news, from things that we experience in our own personal lives, to the things that we see throughout the world, Lord, it is so easy for us to become bitter. It's easy for us to become angry. And sometimes, Lord, we let that bitterness and anger reside in our hearts, and it turns into physical ailments. It turns into emotional pain. And Lord, there's times where we blame you and we become spiritually distant from you. But teach us, Lord. Let us know that you are right there. That you are the one to bring us hope. That you are the one to bring us comfort. That you are our strength. And praise God, you are our salvation. Lord, we pray this before you today, that we can release all these things that hinder us and slow us down from becoming the person that you have called us to be, to go onto a high mountain, Lord, to proclaim with vigor, with might, that you are God, that you are the source of strength, that you are life and life abundant. This we pray in Christ's holy name.